Amen. Thank y'all. Like that song there. It's helpful to be reminded about the battles that you faced, the victories won. Thankful for those times, and kind of goes along with this evening's message. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 44. Matthew chapter 5. And verse 44, we're looking this evening at the blessings of difficult people. This doesn't make sense right off the surface. It doesn't make sense to us. The blessings of difficult people. Brother George asked me ahead of the service what I was going to be preaching on tonight. I said, the blessings of difficult people. And he said, well, that's about all of us, isn't it? And I said, yeah, that about sums it up. Maybe some a little more than others, but we all got some difficulty. If we're honest tonight, we all do. But Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I say unto you, well, we'll start in verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said. Now, that's what the world says. Ye have heard that it hath been said. Now, here's what the world has to say. That thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Lord, as we come before you, thank you for this time in your house. I ask you, Lord, to come alongside the preaching, and I ask you to give me the words that you would have me to say, and I trust it to be a help to your people this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, enemies are easily identified. Enemies identify themselves by bringing some kind of harm to you. It could be physical harm. It could be some kind of verbal harm to you. It could be to your face. It could be behind your back, as it was with David. We looked last Sunday night at Psalm 13 as we looked at an example from David in being long-suffering and the many different capacities that we can be long-suffering in. And if we are honest tonight, some of the greatest trials in life don't involve circumstances, they involve people. Oftentimes, the problems in life involve difficult people. Difficult people in the home, maybe, or difficult people in the church, maybe difficult people on the job, which is interesting because difficult people are everywhere. And the Bible deals with the subject of difficult people. According to the scriptures, Jesus does not say to avoid difficult people. He said to love them. What if I told you that God uses difficult people as instruments of blessing in your life? Tonight, we're going to touch on a theme that just naturally developed over the course of last Sunday, both services. And how we looked at long-suffering. We looked in the morning service at long-suffering, primarily when it comes to dealing with others in our life who may be difficult to deal with. Sunday evening, we looked at how we're to be long-suffering in our seasons of suffering or in our seasons of waiting. There's all kinds of things to be long-suffering about in this life. But tonight, we're looking at the blessings of difficult people. And the first one is difficult people reveal what is in us. David's heart was this, Psalm 139, 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So David's heart here was threefold. Search me, reveal me, and then lead me. So when we think of how a difficult person reveals what is in us, let's reference a prominent verse in Scripture, Luke 6 and verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. When someone lashes out at you, and you lash out in return, you are one and the same. That encounter reveals something about you. Sometimes we're going about our day and we're thinking we're a good person. And yes, we all do it. If you don't wake up and go about your day saying consciously all day, I'm a bad person, then obviously we think the opposite. We're going about our day, we're doing this and that for the Lord, or doing a decent job at work, we're doing things for others, we've maybe been a witness, and then we encounter a difficult person. And I'm telling you tonight, you don't know truly what is in your heart until you encounter a difficult person. If you have anger in your heart, a difficult person can reveal it. If you have frustration in your heart or bitterness or resentment in your heart, a difficult person can reveal it. Difficult people will reveal patience or the lack of it. Difficult people will reveal pride or humility. Difficult people reveal spirituality or carnality. You know, it was a hard look that I had to take within myself when I was coming back to God and I was coming out of the Marines. And I had enough fight in me for 10 people. I was filled from my toes up to my head with fight. And the Lord began putting people across my path. Now, there was one thing before. I was used to responding in the flesh. I was away from the Lord. I'd use the vocabulary of the world. I would treat people the way the world treated people that crossed them. And then as I was coming back to the Lord, and the Lord's doing a work in me, and the Lord's teaching me that I can't have you acting that way no more, and I can't have you talking to people that way anymore, that's when the rubber started meeting the road. Because I can't deal with people the way I'd been accustomed to dealing with people. Now that was hard. Difficult people start crossing my path. It was trial and error. And the Lord's using those situations to reveal within me that I had too much fight, that I had too much anger, that I had too much pride, that I had too much bitterness, too much resentment about things. And because I was that way, that's how people were able to bring it out. Difficult people will reveal whether you are walking in the flesh or you're walking in the Spirit. I was thinking about this and how the Lord was working in me. Every job I had when I got out of the Marines, there was somebody I was this close to fighting physically until the Lord began to change me. Difficult people, again, reveal whether you're walking in the flesh or in the Spirit. Or if you're in the Spirit, how quickly you can move from the Spirit to the flesh. Because sometimes it don't take us long at all to go from Spirit to flesh. I was driving that truck. I told y'all before, I was driving that truck. There was another job I had. I was driving that truck. I'd be praying one minute. I'd be singing the next minute. Somebody pull out in front of me. I'm done singing. I'm done praying. And I'm talking to them now. It can happen real quick. You can go from talking to the Lord to talking to somebody else real quick. I read this last week. When you're encountering a difficult person, it's like squeezing a sponge. Whatever's inside comes out. And a difficult person will squeeze you. As I was studying over the last couple of days, I saw something quite challenging. It says, difficult people are not your problem. They reveal your problem. We'll share something tonight, and it's somewhat, again, it blows our mind. Even the title of this evening's message, The Blessings of Difficult People, it somewhat blows our mind, but I'm going to take it a little step further. Spurgeon said, get a friend to tell you your faults. Or better still, welcome an enemy who will watch you keenly and sting you savagely. What a blessing such an irritating critic will be to a wise man. What an intolerable nuisance to a fool. Spurgeon believed that enemies will often tell you the truth about you. The thing is, enemies tell you the truth about you in order to hurt you, while a friend will tell you the truth about you to help you. But nonetheless, whether friend or foe, listen to them and consider if what they're saying is true. Spurgeon, he frequently taught self-awareness through criticism. He said, if any man thinks ill of you, do not be angry with him, for you are worse than he thinks you to be. That's an amazing thing. And I begin to think about this because even today, even tonight, somebody could say something to me tonight. And because my mind hadn't necessarily gone there about myself, I tell you, I often state pride, and when we think of pride, we're only offended when somebody undercuts the value that we hold on ourselves. Spurgeon also taught the utility of enemies. He argued that enemies help to keep the Lord's servants awake, using their hostility as tool for spiritual vigilance. Now, you've probably seen this. How much politics dictate the church? Shouldn't, but it does. If there's someone in the office that we like, that we consider to be a friend, the church starts sitting down. Shouldn't be that way, but that seems to be the reaction. Churches start thinking, oh, we're good now. We got a friend in the office. We've seen it. But when an enemy is in the office, seems like things change. The conversation changes. Just have conversations with believers. When someone they like is in office and when someone they don't like is in office, just have a conversation with them. And you'll see that tragically, politics dictates the church and the fight that we have. And Spurgeon taught that enemies and having enemies is a tool for spiritual vigilance. I tell you tonight, if we had no enemies, we sleep in peace. We walk in peace. We lose our vigilance. We would feel like we had nothing to fight, and that's not the case at all. So enemies are essential to Christianity. Notice also, difficult people drive us to Christ. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. The Apostle Paul had a thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan. Satan has many messengers at his disposal. It can be those who are lost, which obviously makes them difficult by nature, or they can also be a child of God that lives in the flesh according to the old nature. But either way, God uses difficult people to drive us to Christ. And I can tell you tonight by example that difficult people at times in the ministry have driven me to Christ. Even though I wasn't appreciative of their words, I wasn't appreciative of their gestures, I wasn't appreciative of their actions, I wasn't appreciative of what was maybe again said to me or what was said behind me, but I was able to appreciate the fact that the Lord and I experienced deeper fellowship and communion as a result of their attacks. Difficult people will either be a stumbling block to you in your relationship with Christ, or you will recognize that stumbling block, step over that stumbling block on your way to Christ. And here it is in a nutshell. When people are easy, we rely on ourselves. When people are easy, we don't have to pray about what to say. We already know what to say. When people are easy, we don't have to pray about leadership. We don't have to pray about direction. We don't have to pray about how to handle them. We don't have to ask for an extra measure of the Holy Spirit. We don't have to pray for an extra dose of grace to be able to deal with them. We know that we cannot love enemies in the flesh. We know that we cannot forgive in the flesh, and we cannot forgive repeatedly in our flesh. John 15 and verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Difficult people push you into deeper dependence upon Christ. For without me, ye can do nothing. This includes responding with grace. This includes responding with mercy and love and compassion. It also involves meekness, gentleness. We're looking at gentleness on Sunday morning, Lord willing. Fruit of the Spirit. Notice also difficult people produce Christ-like character. Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. You know, God uses things that are against our grain to shape us. Patience cannot grow without tried patience. Forgiveness cannot grow without exercising forgiveness. Love cannot grow without exercising love, even in difficult circumstances. You know what society is, and it's the downfall of society. People want to be a Marine without boot camp. They want to be a soldier without boot camp. They want to be an airman without boot camp. They want to be a seaman without boot camp. They want to be a cop without the academy. They want to be a fireman without the academy. They want to be EMS without going through that training. Whatever it is, people want to just be gifted something for nothing. But God uses this life, and he uses the battles that we face and the trials that we face as training for this Christian life. And you'll recognize those who, as they age in grace. They're so graceful later on in life. They're living that peace that passeth all understanding because they've allowed the Lord to work in them. They've allowed the difficulties of life to push them to Christ and not away from him. There's been situations I've seen. I told Sarah one day, there was a family. It was a couple in another church that we were on staff at, not one that we pastored. But it was a young couple. Their marriage was already on the rocks. One of their children was diagnosed with leukemia. And it was going to have to go through all the treatments for it. And I remember telling my wife one night, I said, this is either going to make them or it's going to break them. 6 months later, they're divorced. It's tragic. But that's much of the decisions that we have to make in life. They're either going to make us, they're either going to shape us, they're going to compel us to Christ, or we're going to run from all the difficulties and all the challenges and all the concerns that we have to live a life of comfort and ease. But you'll never get God's best living in a life of comfort and ease that you create for yourself. Difficult people and life's difficulties, God allows into our life to shape us, to produce also a Christ-like character. Again, patience, forgiveness, love. Exercising love even in difficult circumstances. James 1, verses 3 and 4. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Sometimes we don't consider this, but it takes a great deal of faith in God to withhold our response. It takes faith in knowing that the Lord is going to deal with someone. And honestly, if you truly observe difficult people, you'll see that God is already judging them based off what he is withholding from them. Sometimes we see an enemy. Sometimes we see an overly difficult person They've been difficult to us. They've been difficult all the way around. We see them getting that new truck. We see them getting that new house. We get them seeing that pay raise, that promotion or whatever it is. And it looks like all these external things is just going their way and nothing seems like it can go wrong. But you don't realize that sometimes it's not what people are getting, it's what they're not getting. They're judged already in that they don't have peace. They're judged already in that they don't have contentment. They don't have joy. They don't have friends. They're judged already in that they are all around miserable people. Do you and I seriously think that we could inflict more damage to them than what God is already inflicting? It'd be like, this is an analogy from Iraq, but it'd be like seeing a roadside bomb annihilate a vehicle. It's blown to pieces and it's on fire. And then we walk up with a 9mm and put a couple rounds into it. You haven't accomplished a thing with that. It only makes you feel better, like you're doing something, but it's actually hurting you. Difficult people produce Christ-like character in us. Difficult people teach us how to respond to difficult people. You know, I'm thankful for in hindsight, I am. Though I didn't appreciate the difficulties at times and early on in ministry and the different struggles and the different battles, I'm appreciative of it now because it helps me deal with those who are difficult. And you're always going to face somebody who is difficult. And we need to know, again, that God has not commanded us to avoid difficult people, but to love them. And it's an amazing thing that God gives difficult people to a church for us to love them, but also for them to have a part in our sanctification. God's giving sometimes difficult people another opportunity in life to quit being difficult and submit and just obey to Him. Obey Him and have a walk with Him. Have a relationship with Him. Notice also difficult people give us opportunity to obey Christ. Matthew 5 and verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? You know, anyone can love the lovable. But it takes a spirit-filled believer to love the difficult. Remember that great excerpt from D.L. Moody? We looked at it some time ago. He says, if I love the brethren, that is a sign that I've got Christ's spirit. If I love my enemies, that is a better sign. Now, it takes the grace of God. It takes the love of God. Nothing but the love of God will enable me to do that. To love a man that slanders me, to love a man that would tear down my character, to love a man that would ruin and blast my life takes something beyond human love. You cannot do that of yourself. It is not in the power of man. You go out and preach to the world, tell men to love their enemies. They'll say, I ought to, but I hate them. I just hate them. If a man had come to me and told me before I was born of God to love my enemies and pray for them that persecute me, he might as well have gone and talked to the wind. It was not in my power to do it. But when I was born of God, I got a new principle placed in me, the power to love my enemies. And the first impulse of the young convert is to love. I remember when I was converted, I loved every person on the face of the earth. All bitterness had been taken out. To love a man that loves me takes no grace at all. The natural man does that. But to love those that do not care for you takes the love of God. Have you got that love? Let us put that test to ourselves. If we have, that is a sign that the Holy Ghost has shed abroad the love of God in our hearts and we have the Spirit of Calvary. Because the very moment Jesus Christ was being put to death on the cross, that very hour they were mocking and deriding Him, He was praying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's an important thing about love. Who do we love? To what extent do we love them? Romans 12 and verse 20, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. That's the Spirit's way to handle it. You know what we do? We ignore people. We ignore our enemies. We turn our back on them. We see them suffering and we say, I wouldn't help them for nothing. You know what they did to me? You know what they said to me? You know what they said about me? That's the flesh's way. And you know what we think? We really think we're inflicting damage to them. We really think that by turning our back on them, by not having anything to do with them, that we are inflicting damage. That's not what the Bible says. That inflicts damage against you. You go home knowing who you are. You go home knowing how you act. You go home knowing how you respond to others. There's nothing spiritual about that. Sometimes we think the greatest harm we can do to someone is of the flesh. But it's actually the Spirit. When someone does you wrong and you are good to them, it burns them. Because deep down they know they're in the wrong. The Bible talks about how the law is etched on our hearts and our minds, which means people who say they don't know what wrong is actually do. And I've had lost people. I told you before, sometimes you can trust an enemy. When I was in the workplace, I had some people, weren't saved, weren't in church, said, you got upset earlier. Was it true? Yeah, just because it was an enemy to the cross and an enemy to church and an enemy to the word doesn't mean he wasn't right. He was right. Yeah, I did. No sense in denying it. That just makes it worse to the world. When you should just say, yeah, you're right. I did that. I did. You got me. Difficult people know deep down that they're difficult. And when you do good to them, instead of doing them harm or in some way responding to them the way they've treated you, it burns them. And it took me a while to learn this, and I'm still learning it. Because sometimes I still feel within me that the best way to approach a situation like that is to match flesh with flesh. Sometimes I'm like, man, I really want to just say this. But the Lord won't give me liberty. The Lord won't give me a peace about it. And I know that if I get in the flesh, that's the worst thing I can do. It's not going to help. And it's not going to inflict any damage to them. It's only going to damage me. Every difficult person is an opportunity to show grace to be merciful towards them, to demonstrate the gospel. It's amazing to someone when they've been difficult to you and they're lost, they're not saved, and you love them enough to share the gospel with them. They have to ask themselves, why would you love me so much to do that? Why if eternity is real, why do you care where I go? See, some people know they've been difficult. They know. And our reactions to difficult people is our testimony. We're going to face difficult people all the time. Difficult people bring eternal reward. Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. God keeps record of every time you held your tongue. God keeps record of every time you forgave somebody over what they did to you. God knows every time you responded in love. God knows, again, when you held your silence, when you kept your peace. God also knows the restless nights that people have caused. He knows the burden. He knows the challenge and the difficulties at times that difficult people have caused. He knows it all. He's keeping track of it all. none of it gets lost with God. So notice, even difficult people are used by God. Pharaoh hardened his heart, but God used him. Judas betrayed Christ, but had a part in fulfilling prophecy. Those who crucified Jesus brought about redemption. This stuff here encourages me because I know that the Lord always has the upper hand. Always. Genesis 50 and verse 20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me. But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. I want you to know this evening, God may not approve of their behavior, but he uses it for your good. Nowhere do we find that God is a co-conspirator to sin, or that God is the originator of sin. Nowhere do we find that. God don't cause people to sin. Anytime a man sins, it's not because he was tempted of God. But God knows how to have the upper hand. God knows how to use people that will mistreat you, that will say bad things to you, say bad things about you. God knows how to use all of it to where he gets the upper hand in your life. That's why I said on Sunday night, in terms of David and how David was, he had all this going on behind his back. But David trusted his defense to the Lord. So in conclusion, difficult people, they reveal you. How you respond, it reveals something about you. They drive you to Christ. They help develop your character. They give you opportunities to obey the scriptures. And they also bring an eternal reward. It's going to be treasures that we have in heaven, based off of our responses to difficult people. I saw this today. Instead of praying, Lord, remove them, pray, Lord, use them to change me. Usually we say, Lord, get rid of the difficult person. Instead of, Lord, help me get rid of everything a difficult person could point out about me. Remember Daniel? His enemies couldn't find any fault in him. And I tell you tonight, even difficult people are less difficult if we quit supplying the ammunition. Yes. They could have a gun all day long. You ain't got to give them the bullets. And we see that all over Christianity today. We just keep giving bullets to the enemy. Yes. We just keep giving them bullets. Scandal after scandal after scandal after scandal. We just keep giving ammunition to the devil. And we keep giving ammunition to the devil's crowd. Because remember, enemies, they're watching you. They're watching your every move. They're listening to your every word. Never discount an enemy. Not entirely. Because what they're saying could be true. Because again, they've been watching. And they've been studying. They've been looking for missteps. Spurgeon said that enemies are like somebody that's out doing horse trading. They size up that horse from one end to the other, from up to down, looking in its mouth, its nose, its eyes, looking for any flaw. And the devil's like that with us. And he uses his people to size us up, looking for flaws, looking for faults. Closing thought, Spurgeon says, the anvil of God's grace is often struck with the hammer of difficult people. Yet it is there the Christian is shaped for glory. I encourage you tonight, don't let the difficult people in your life gain the victory over you. God wants to use them. Use them to mold us, to shape us. Not for them to gain victory over us.